Welcome to Schools Out. I'm Lisa Watson. I've been reflecting on the state of modern conservatism. It doesn't make sense that while conservatives have the truth about the God of the Bible, and conservatives are right when they promote free markets as the only economic system that can eliminate poverty, they still have been losing the culture wars to the left for almost 100 years. What's missing? Then I had my light bulb moment. Conservatives don't understand social movements? My mind was blown. Let me take a step back and define my terms. A social movement is defined as an organized effort by a group of people or group of organizations with a shared identity working to bring about or impede social, political, economic, or cultural change. Here are a couple of examples that everyone should recognize. The feminist movement, the civil rights movement, the pro-choice movement, the marriage equality movement, the environmental movement, and more recently, the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter are all examples of social movements. Effective social movements have several things in common. Social movements are designed to help their constituents make sense of the world. They are aspirational and inspirational, and they're multi-generational. Basically, social movements are the religion of the left. Social movements are the framework that have fueled the left's 100-year transformation of American society. Let that sink in. Unfortunately, conservatives tend to frame issue-based arguments, subjects like defeat the tax increase. While no one likes taxes, the subject is hardly powerful enough to be multi-generational and doesn't qualify as inspirational or aspirational, and certainly it doesn't help constituents make sense of the world. Okay, don't get demoralized. There is some good news. I'm going to explore the power of social movements a lot more in upcoming episodes. I'm going to address issues like why Black America is the fastest growing segment of the school choice community, how to afford private school, the power of micro-schooling, why 600,000 government school teachers have exited the classroom, and I'm going to explain why CRT has already won. This show is going to explore how Christians can leverage the school choice movement to reverse the worst outcomes of the previous social movements and replace government programs as a tool to defeat poverty. It's amazing to be a part of the Herzog podcast family. I'm here with famous radio personality colleague, Chris DeGaulle.
Well, thank you, Lisa. That's a very nice introduction. But listen, I am thrilled to have you as part of the Herzog Foundation podcast family.
I'm loving it.
You know, Christine and I have been doing Making the Leap now for a little over a year. When you and I started talking about your concept for this show, what was so exciting to me and what people heard in your introduction today was you bring to the table a perspective that I think a lot of us, either in homeschooling or Christian education, or maybe come from a certain political background, you bring something entirely new.
Yeah, Chris, 20 years on the left. And
that's intense.
Yeah, it was intense. It was intense coming out of it. But I'm hoping that I can bring everything that I learned to this side and help just blow up the conversation a little bit, bring a little strategy to this side of the equation, and have some fun.
Your question to me, and kind of rhetorically we were talking about it, was can school choice defeat poverty? So when you talk about poverty, what does that look like to you? And what do you mean by that when we talk about poverty and what you think school choice could mean to poverty?
You know, when I started thinking about, you know, how can I transition my passion for social change, social movements to this side, that's the where I was led, yeah, to the school choice movement. And I wanted to teach people how you can tie what conservatives stand for to school choice and be strategic about it. So hopefully I'm bringing some strategies, I'm bringing some new types of conversation, and I'm bringing some new spins on the old conversation.
So one of the things I know is important to you is to bring guests in,
yes,
on the show to give perspective. What kind of guests will people expect to hear from you, do you think? Who are you targeting?
Chris, we have a big lineup. The first thing I want to talk about is the power of social movements. So I'm bringing in policy experts,
Great. People
from Kansas Policy Institute, Show Me Institute, and the legislators from both sides of the state line that worked on the school choice legislation.
What do you think legislators don't understand? I know you're not shy when you have legislators in to the show. I assume you'll press them a little bit. What do you think they're missing?
The main thing they're missing is that they think they're working with honest brokers on the other side, and they're not. A lot of the colleagues and the things that I was taught on the left they're just strategies. They're just tactics. It's not about really trying to move the country forward and to be unified. So if people can get that into their head and come up with strategic goals and just keep moving the ball forward.
Yeah.
That's all you do. You come up with a strategic plan and you just keep moving the ball forward. And I'm hoping that that's going to change right now.
The audience of this show, who do you hope will find it? Who do you think you're really trying to reach?
I'm really trying to reach parents, because I became an atheist because I was just absorbing the things that I was being taught in college particularly, but now that's going on in the K-12 system. So I'm hoping that parents will be triggered to make the leap and pull their children out of government schools, just like you did.
You have a huge passion for church involvement here. You think that's important. We talk a lot about that. Church buildings sit empty all across town, all across the state, all over the country.
It's invaluable. This is the number one constituency that's sitting out of the game. You have 99,000 government schools versus 330,000 churches that are sitting empty 90% of the time. Just like I told you in an earlier conversation, from now on, when you drive around the city, just look around and see how many churches are sitting with empty parking lots, and what a difference maker it would be if they just even had a micro school with 25 kids.
Yes. We did a show on Making the Leap not too long ago, citing a stat that of the homeschool community out there that's blossomed and exploded. New York City, of all places. New York City is exploding in homeschooling. Does that surprise you?
No. One of the best statistics that I've heard is that the Black Americans are actually the fastest growing segment of the homeschool community.
I heard that too.
My nieces are now being homeschooled.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
What was the decision there?
Their dad doesn't want to lose control over the influence. He wants to be the one that gives the primary influence. And his wife has decided, she left the workforce and she's going to be dedicated to homeschooling.
Is that, I don't mean to pry, I hope you don't mind, is that a cultural decision for their home? Is it the culture of the school? Is it a faith-based decision? A little of all of it?
A little bit, mainly the culture. He does not want his daughters exposed to the modern culture. So they're going to protect their children, keep them at home, and they're going to design what they're exposed to and when.
I think you may bring a perspective that maybe a lot of other folks, I'll speak for myself. I've always been a suburban guy. I haven't really spent a lot of time inside bigger metropolitan areas. You have.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about people who put their kids into large metropolitan failing schools? What have you experienced there and talked with parents? I know you have in the past about their experience there.
One, they're just on automatic pilot. There's just a culture in America that when your child turns 5 years old, you go to kindergarten roundup.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been recently that people have been taking like a double look at, okay, what are they talking about? What's going on? And then COVID put it on steroids. So now that people could actually see the teacher standing in front of their child and what their children were being exposed to, there's been a mass exodus. And Chris, another amazing statistic, the exodus is not only the parents. 600,000 teachers have exited the classroom just since 2020.
That's huge. That's huge. Do you think, amongst Black Americans in particular, when we talk about universal school choice and that tax credit, that is the money that a state spends per student goes back to the home to spend as they'd like, do you think that will resonate with Black America?
Automatically. It's all about framing. So when you just talk about a generic tax credit, people don't necessarily connect the dots. But when I start talking about the transformative power of the tax credit, let me give you an example. My mom, she attended an HBCU. Are you familiar with HBCUs?
Historically Black college, right?
Historically Black colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. The first one was founded in 1835. So that's 30 years before slavery ended.
Wow.
But when I talk to a lot of Black people that I know, I say, hey, what do you think about starting HBCUs K through 12? Well, they've never thought about that.
Hmm.
And when you start making the connection that that funding that is being put on the table is the funding that we can use to leverage, there's 85,000 Black churches that are sitting empty 90% of the time. Those 85,000 buildings can now be micro schools used Monday through Friday.
Is there a different way to talk about it? I don't think there is. I think every parent wants the best outcome for their child, but you've mentioned, and I know you will in future shows, there's often a communication breakdown, quite frankly. I mean, let's just face it. The way communities talk to one another are just different. Maybe that's why your show?
Well, you know, I started asking questions in terms of, well, what's your goal? And if I know what someone else's goal is, then you can start driving how you get there. But if I don't know what anyone else's goal is, then you're sort of like buckshot everywhere. So what's the goal? For me, the goal is build a bigger buffet of school choice options. It's that simple. Let's just build a bigger buffet.
Who's doing it well out there? Do you know of any, I don't mean to put you on the spot, do you know of any examples of anybody that's doing it well out there?
Actually, I do.
Do you?
Actually, I just happen to have taken a tour of a school in Virginia. Its founder is Dr. Carol Adams. She works with FACE. Are you familiar with them?
No.
Oh, yeah. She started a little homeschool in her basement in the 1980s with like 14 kids. Now she's got a school that's based upon the principled approach. And I'll just give one shout out to Dr. Carol. When I took the tour of the school, at the end of the tour, she asked people, did they notice anything unique about the school? Did anything jump out at them? And you don't. I mean, it's a beautiful school. The children are being taught well. It's all biblically based. Her kids actually test the equivalent biblical worldview as pastors when they graduate.
Wow.
That's their worldview.
Wow.
But there was something else that she said that we were missing. She said, did anyone notice the lockers when you're going down the halls? And I'm like, She said, you notice they don't have doors. There's no doors on her lockers. She said, because we don't steal and we don't have to lock things up.
Amazing.
So that power that she's been bringing and that passion into private Christian education, that's what we want to replicate.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Do you, in terms of, as you go forward with this show, you've kind of laid out the goals. What do you hope people will take away from it? What do you hope when people tune in they will take away from your show?
You know, I want people to walk away from the demoralization that I think has really taken root on the conservative side. Hopefully I can be an injection of some positivity that all hope is not lost.
Is school choice considered a conservative issue?
It is now.
It is now.
It is now because the liberals know that the schools are their mechanism to distribute all of their ideas.
But it does seem to resonate with people who would traditionally be considered on the left, school choice, doesn't it? Parents?
No.
Average parents.
Average parents, yes. Leftists, no.
Right.
Let me give you another number. I believe right now we're looking at about 34 states that have meaningful school choice legislation.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the legislation has been passed just since 2020.
Right.
But 100% of the legislators that passed this were all Republican. Not one Democrat legislator
yeah.
has passed school choice. Not one.
So in trying to communicate, I'm fascinated by this, and I know you don't purport to speak for everyone of color, but I mean, how do people who pass meaningful school choice in legislatures, how do they let maybe folks who wouldn't be inclined to listen to them ordinarily know? What do you think the trick is there? Or do you have to find a different messenger or message it better? This is probably a political question of the ages. I've always kind of wondered how a conservative white politician would tell a black family, hey, we just did something that's going to be really great for your family.
Yeah, this is pretty universal.
Yeah.
The concept of everybody wanting a better outcomes for their children.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I always start with, what's your goal? And guess what? They're going to say the same thing that you say.
Yeah,
your goal
right.
is you want your children to achieve the American dream. You want them to avoid the school-to-prison pipeline. You want them to be able to read and write and to be able to achieve. Everybody wants that. That's a universal theme. So connecting the dots is what's missing. Instead of a generic conversation about school choice policy up here,
mm-hmm.
when you bring it down and you talk about real-world consequences, for example— the black community is the most churched community in America.
Yes.
So when you start tying it to, do you trust your pastor to educate your child?
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. So do the numbers for people. For example, in Missouri, the program brings $6,750 per child. Multiply that out by 100 kids. So your pastor with a budget of $670,000 a year, you think he could build a school that would get you the results that you want?
Interesting. Very interesting. So you think that the church community in particular is someone like the head of a church, the head of a black church, might be exactly where you go to talk first.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be willing to go on tour to those 85,000 churches to make this pitch. Number two, I have to throw you out something else funny.
Please.
I'm going to be bringing this a guy in.
Oh, good.
I follow a program out of Baltimore. It's called Project Baltimore, and they track the school district, and it's a little scary.
Mm.
But in the most recent episode, and this is within the last 30 days, they did an interview with the local NAACP. And the NAACP reported, yeah, our constituents are wanting us to support school choice.
Wow.
So I'm going to be bringing in the local NAACP president for us to talk about.
Oh, that's good stuff. That could get heated. I've heard that, too, in Philadelphia. You know, Lisa, it's undeniable. I mean, from the violence to the closures to the facilities to just the results.
Right.
These urban core schools are not working for families, and they know that.
Right.
So it's just that next level. I wonder, do you think they also understand governors and legislatures who don't support it?
Right.
Do you think they understand that?
Oh, absolutely.
They
in
do.
The last elections, there was a disproportionate number of winners who were supporting school choice.
Interesting. Boy, I can't wait. We are so excited to have you as part of our family of shows. I can't wait to start listening to them and all that you have to say and all the guests that you have to bring in. So I guess officially I'll just say welcome aboard to the Herzog team.
And I can't wait. I'm going to be tuning in. I'm going to be joining you on your show, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You'll be one of, as soon as this show launches, you're going to be right there in between Christine and me. Can't wait.
Okay. You guys heard it here first. Thanks for joining us. And be sure to subscribe to Schools Out wherever you listen to podcasts. See you next time.